Hey, Mike Club community, Benji here, and excited to share with you today a curveball, a changeup of an episode. I sat down with Timmy Bauer, and he is the founder of Dinosaur House and used to be a host of B2B Growth and work at Sweetfish, but just a great podcaster. And he's in the Mike Club community. Thought, why don't we chop it up, talk about our favorite shows, our favorite hosts, some tips, and give that away in a conversation. And I'm on vacation, so what a better time than to just release this right now and put something in your feed this week that'll make you a better B2B podcast host. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. It's a wide-ranging one, but one that has tons of gold in it. And Timmy's fantastic to have on the podcast. So enjoy this conversation, and we'll be back next week with another episode. Welcome back to Mike Club, everybody. Benji here, and excited today to have Timmy with me. Timmy, you are a legend around Sweetfish. And so I walk in your footsteps.
I wish that were
footsteps.
True. I don't know about that.
Well, you're infamous or famous or something. Tell me a little bit about your podcasting journey here off the top so that our audience is aware of who you are. And maybe they have seen you, I guess, in the LinkedIn group. But tell us about you.
Okay, sure thing. So I started podcasting something like 4 or 5 years ago because I know James Carberry. And if you know James Carberry for long enough, eventually you're going to have a podcast. I was trying to figure out this is like how I met James. Basically, we were going to the same church and somebody was like, if you're trying to do anything entrepreneurial, you got to talk to James Carberry. I was like, okay, sure thing. I'm going to go talk to him. And at the time I had just made my first children's book, Billy the Dragon. Like I had just gotten it printed.
Okay.
And because I made it for my little brother. I have always wanted to be a professional story artist. Realized I wanted to be a kid's book author after I made Billy the Dragon for my little brother and had no idea how to do it. I just knew that I wanted to go the entrepreneurial route instead of the hoping and praying that a publisher takes me up route. So I go talk to James, and James is like, bro, you have the product in your hands right now. You just need to knock on the doors of your customers. So I did that for a while. I was literally knocking on elementary school doors and getting school visits where I could perform and sell my kids' books. And just like around this time, James hadn't yet started Sweetfish, but he started a show for churches. And then he started a show called Inspiring Awesome, where he just interviewed people that he thought was awesome. Great premise for a show if you're doing content-based networking, which is a book that he would go on to write. I'm jumping around a little bit, but everything's relevant. So
that's good.
I just remember the feeling of being like, I had just met this guy named James. He gave me some really good advice. He's pushing me to be successful as a touring kids book author. And he's got this podcast, Inspiring Awesome. And I remember thinking, man, I really want to be a guest on Inspiring Awesome. Even though I had no thought of like, does this show have any audience? None of that's even in my head. And sure enough, James asks me to go on his show. And I'm like, oh, I'm so nervous. I'm sweating. This is the first time I've ever done any sort of like public speaking aside from getting up in front of kids to perform. And James interviews me. And this has nothing to do with the story, but I think it's hilarious. He never posted the episode because he stopped doing the show and was like launching Sweetfish. I thought that I was the reason. Like I thought that I just like my interview sucked so bad.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. But how does this relate to me starting a podcast? I was looking for like, how can I consistently, connect with, the people in the publishing industry so that I can try to be a successful kids book author. And James was like, you need to start a podcast that's all about you connecting with people in the kids book space. So I did. My first show was called Books for Kids. And all I did was connect with anybody who worked in the children's book or kid literacy, kid literature space. I was interviewing teachers. I was interviewing parents. I was interviewing famous kids book authors. It was so cool to think like I could interview a famous kids book author just because I've got this microphone connected to my computer. And this was, I think this was still before James wrote content-based networking, but it was after he had come up with the concept. Gotcha. So for anyone who's unfamiliar, content-based networking is the idea that you can connect with just about anybody if the thing that you're asking is, hey, let's do some content together.
Mm-hmm.
So I was using content-based networking for that. And it took me a little while to realize that connecting with other kids book authors isn't going to make me a successful kids book author. It's great for relationship building with people that are in the industry, but it's not going to lead to me it would be a really roundabout path to go from that to I'm speaking on stages as a kids book author.
Right.
So the surefire path was interview the people who have access to those stages. And it took me way too long to make that connection. But as soon as I did, that kind of changed everything. So I changed my show name to The Literacy Advocate and focused on interviewing people that had access to stages, whether it's okay. literally like stages in a media center at a school or stages at a conference for teachers where I could use that to book tours off of. And so that was my first step into the kind of content-based networking that drives business results. Because I was using the Literacy Advocate to connect with the people that were then willingly helping me build tours, and the tours was earning me money as a traveling kids book author.
And you felt like the relationships were strong enough there, like to where you actually can say, man, this really drove business results.
Yeah. I mean, I would get done doing a podcast interview and they'd be like, wait, so you're a kids book author? And then we'd start talking about it. And I'd be like, yeah, I tour for free because I make all my money in book sales. Like, would you ever want to help me like come visit your school or schools that you're connected with? And I was able to book tours that way.
Wow. I love that as the backdrop, and I love hearing other podcasters, just their journey. And even, I mean, I think the common mistake that you just mentioned is it happens all the time. People get into content and they're like, oh, you can meet all these fascinating people and you're interested in people that are exactly like you, but that means they might not be the decision maker per se. In some situations
no,
they are, but
they're not the decision maker.
A lot of times it's not. Yes, exactly. So that's really, really interesting. Well, for our listeners here, you're listening into Timmy's story and you're like, okay, this is a way different Mike Club episode. And that's exactly right. We're here chatting about podcasting because I'm on vacation. So we wanted to release something just really wild and different. And so Timmy, what I want to do is instead of going, what's in the news of podcasting, let's actually talk through some of our favorite podcasts right now, what those things are teaching us. And I think that'd be really helpful. I always love hearing what a podcaster, where they draw their inspiration. And so I want to hear that from you. And I created a list for myself too, so we can even bounce off of each other a little bit. But I want to go three favorite podcasts that you have right now. Why don't you do one, then I'll do one, and we'll just kind of ping back and forth. But what's one of your favorite podcasts right now?
So my answers are going to be really weird, I think.
Good.
But one of my favorite shows is, it's literally called the Charlie and Ben podcast. Terrible name for a podcast, I guess, unless you just don't care. They're the duo behind a very popular YouTube channel called Charisma on Command. Okay. That's how I got into them. Charisma on Command is like a great resource if you're trying to become a better podcast host. So I was just digging there. I was watching every single Charisma on Command video, and then eventually started listening to their podcast. And they talk about everything from how they started their business to what's going on in politics. Like, it's just a weird show, but I'm a big fan of these two guys.
Yep.
And I think they're really thoughtful in the way that they think about stuff. So that's why I'm into them.
And their content isn't the same podcast to videos that you'd find on YouTube.
They're doing like the Joe Rogan playbook, I think, where it's they do an hour long podcast. They break it into like six clips. They post the clips throughout the week. And the podcast is like super topical. So they're just like taking topics.
Nice. Cool. The first one for me is the Bill Simmons podcast, which he's like in the sports world. The Ringer, a lot of you will know the Ringer Podcast Network. And it's funny because this is also not like a business example by any means, although he has made a business of his podcast network. But to me, watching how someone hosts and the back and forth between him and his guests, if you're listening to try to figure out the way he comes up with his questions, it is mind-blowing. It's like, okay, you are taking a topic that someone would cover from one angle and you're covering it from a completely different angle. And then you got like 15 follow-up questions that most people aren't asking, or you're making a game out of this on the spot just by the way your brain is working. And so I listened to the Bill Simmons podcast just with a lot of intentionality going, I don't know how necessarily to bring it into business, but it does make me hyper more relational in the way that I talk to guests that I have on B2B Growth or when I'm co-hosting Mike Club. So that's my first suggestion. Throw it back
that's
to you.
Great.
What's another one on your end?
So this is the complete opposite extreme, but I like listening to the Lex Fridman podcast. I don't know if you've listened to any of those episodes. The reason I like, and so I listed him as one of my favorite hosts.
Okay.
And the reason is counterintuitive. He has, some would argue he has no charisma. Like he talks in a monotone voice, super deadpan, very little laughs or like banter with the guest. Yeah. That's often the way he goes. He seems a little socially awkward, but yet somehow he's been able to make this massive podcast and make these really interesting to listen to, you know, sometimes 3-hour long episodes. And it must be the way that he is able to pull insights out of his guests and the way that he's able to ask questions. That has to be the reason, because he would be too boring to listen to otherwise. So yeah, got charisma on command over here to have charisma. And then it's like, well, then there's this guy who maybe you would argue has no charisma, and yet he's made an extremely successful show, probably because of the way he asks questions.
The way you ask questions is key. And that knowing yourself, man, that's something I've been learning a lot in podcasting. The more you know yourself and are in tune with like, how am I best showing up in this conversation, not trying to show up like somebody else, that shines through in a very different way in podcasting. It doesn't feel forced almost. I don't know if that's how you would describe your experience, but that to me, that is a key point in podcasting, is leaning into you, not trying to be what you think people want.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a tough question. Well, I don't know. When you're a 3 on the Enneagram, you're just always worried about like, do people like me? Do Chameleon. People like the me that I am? So yeah. I don't know how helpful that really is for me.
Yep. It's just such an interesting balance, because I do think the mirroring is great to a point, but especially as you try to drive home your point of view, and I can say this as a fellow Enneagram 3, like that, the more you figure out who you are, the more beneficial I think it is to the content you create, because then you're not always shifting depending on the people that you're talking to. And so that to me, you don't have that level of energy, but you're always trying to match someone else's level of energy, it's going to make for a really weird show. You should try to get better, but you shouldn't try to be someone else.
Yeah, that's something I've talked about with Dan as well, Dan Sanchez, because he has this belief that, you know, your personality is something that you can kind of like lift the hood on and like make all these adjustments to. And you shouldn't have the mindset of like, just be yourself, because you can fundamentally change your personality to be better. Yep. And that's a little more extreme than I'm willing to go, but I agree that you should not treat your personality like it's a fixed thing, while at the same time you have to find the stuff that you can do that will actually work for who you are. Like when I go to the doctor and the doctor's trying to give me health advice, my wife will get upset with me because I'll push back on the doctor so much. And the reason is, I say to the doctor, I'm like, look, we can't leave this office until we come up with something that I'm going to do that I will actually do. There is no value in you telling me to do something that I know I won't actually do. So like, there's gotta be this balance of like trying to evolve and become better, but maintaining like, these are habits that I can form because I know that I will actually do them.
Yep. As much as I try, I won't ever be a fully analytical brain. And that's what Dan is really great at. So it actually allows us to lean on each other. And so to me, it's like, yeah, you should get better at that side. But also, if I'm heavier into the relational side and can bring a lot of energy in a different way, that's a uniquely me thing that I feel like there is some wiring there. There is some nature there. So it's a fascinating conversation, but I love that you brought the polar opposite examples. My second example is more from the religious space, but it's called the Holy Post podcast. And the reason I love this show is they always have two parts. So the first part is banter between two guys who have known each other. And then usually they bring in a girl. There's two girls. So they'll like switch off every other episode. The front half, they're taking on like some of the hotter topics, the things that they're just seeing from around spirituality, church. And then the back half is the interview. A lot of times I skip the interview and I only listen to the first half. And it's because they know each other well enough that it's, and their depth of knowledge and history is so great that they can co-host a show together in a very unique way. So don't think interview, think banter back and forth. And I love watching how in a recording setting, you can still facilitate conversation well and like interrupt each other and have a good back and forth and like, oh, I don't know if I think that way. So the Holy Post podcast for banter purposes has been really helpful to me and is one of my favorite podcasts right now.
Yeah. The thing about banter is, and I probably lean too far this direction, but I'm pretty outspoken about this. This is not true about for charisma's sake, having good conversation, but this is true for podcasting, in my opinion. Whoever is having the aha moment should get to interrupt. So if you're talking and it's triggering some big thought in my brain, I should just get to talk right over you and say it because that snippet of me fired up being like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's like this, like everybody thinks this thing, but the reality is da 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 da. That like, that's a clip that you're going to want to use. And you should be encouraging that in the setting of a podcast, which is why I tell all my guests to put headphones on. Yeah. So that they can hear if I'm interrupting them, and I wear headphones so I can hear if they're interrupting me. I've said that on Dan's other podcast too. I think I probably take it too far. I'm a natural interrupter, so I probably actually need to do less interrupting.
It's always a balance to strike. Okay, give me your third and final favorite podcast right now.
It's B2B Growth because I feel like B2B Growth is the place where I think I developed the most as a host, just learning from James and Logan, and then eventually becoming a host of B2B Growth and developing the whole POV, what, why, yeah, how thing. It's also, I was doing content-based networking, with much higher stakes. So, I think B2B Growth is a great place to learn how to host. If that's what you're interested in, a great way to learn how, like, you can listen to episodes and learn, oh, that's a great way to shine the spotlight on somebody else, especially when you know that like one of the things that B2B Growth is doing is content-based networking. You can go, okay, there is a way to get good content and do content-based networking at the same time. It's B2B Growth.
Yeah, it's been a fun balance to try to strike there. And I'm excited too, because we're in like the evolution process yet again on like what the show will be and what it'll look like moving forward. But there is, I'm a firm believer in what you said there, that there is a balance to be struck between, okay, I want to get to know this person. And I think that like we have services that we could offer that, you know, this relationship could be mutually beneficial. But then there's also like, you also have a wealth of knowledge that I want to tap into as a host that will make for interesting content if I can pull it out in the right way. And it's fun to talk to people who aren't really in the podcasting space because it's an interesting challenge to get the content and drive home one kind of main point. So B2B Growth is, yep, a fun one. And also, you know what? I had other ones written down, but I'll say, because we've both been hosts of B2B Growth, like, why not just end on that one? Like, that's such a fun way to end that section. Okay. So with that, you alluded to something earlier I wanted to hit on. Who's your favorite podcast host right now? And like, what's, just give me like a lesson that you've learned or gleaned from them. I know we've talked about that a little bit in favorite podcasts, but as a host, who stands out?
very few people host well, in my opinion. And so I listen to a lot of podcasts where, and maybe it's because I've been on the inside of it and I'm like, that's not the question that I would have asked. Like, I want to know da da da. Like, so I often get frustrated with hosts when I listen to podcasts, but the reason I picked Lex is because of his, the way he asks questions. Mm. So even though he's got, even though he's completely flat, I think that he's doing something right when it comes to question asking, because he's making these super long interviews and he's got millions of subscribers.
Yep. I think for me, I really mulled this one over because a lot of the people that I admire are more in like radio space or sports space, which just speaks to maybe the type of stuff that I am fascinated by when you can talk on a topic like that. But the one that stuck out to me recently, and it's more because of actually his micro clips and his micro content on Instagram and TikTok, is Lewis Howes. And he does School of Greatness. And I've gone in and out of like being interested in that show, not interested in that show. But if you go back, because his show's been around for so long now, you can see him developing as, okay, I'm a host, to, oh, I've built something that's like, people want my perspective. And that's a transition that's pretty hard. If you're a primarily a question asker, fantastic. Like, continue to own that and hone that skill. But at the same time, if you've built an audience on a show, they also want to know your perspective on topics. And that's something that I have to continually get better at, especially because I was kind of late to the marketing game, but had a podcast background. So I knew how to ask some questions, but I didn't necessarily have all the formed opinions. And I think watching his transition from, I ask quality questions, to, oh, you said that, and I actually have an opinion on this. Not necessarily that's counter, but it adds to the conversation. That's a different way of hosting that is super, super valuable to, if you're newer to podcasting and maybe that's new to you, like you're coming to just shine the spotlight on your guest. Figuring out that great balance is a skill to develop.
I think one of the things that you can do to start developing strong points of view yourself as a host, so that you can start doing micro, you probably already doing micro that video, micro or episodes where you're the solo host that are awesome. But just for anyone who's listening, like start as the dumb person, like start with like, I'm dumb and I'm just going to learn and I'm going to learn from everybody that I talk to. But as you start to feel comfortable, start presenting the devil's advocate position of the POVs of your guests. Yep. And it doesn't have to be your belief, but if you can figure out what the opposite belief is that, and state it as strongly as possible and get your guests to have to answer challenges to their own beliefs, it will start developing your own points of view because you'll be pitting ideas against each other and you'll start to take on beliefs.
That's good. All right, let's end this episode, Timmy, with each of us giving one helpful tip, something we've learned from our time as podcast hosts. Let's each give one tip, and that's how we'll wrap this thing. You already have given away a lot of gold in this. It's been super fun to have you. But if you could just give us one thing to walk away with, what would be your thing you'd want to tell this room full of podcast hosts?
Oh, man, one thing. I was going to give three things.
Well, if you can give them I'll let you go with all three.
I'll say this. If it's like, I'm just starting out, I need training wheels, POV discovery and what, why, how. If you don't know what that is, like sweetfishmedia.com, type in POV or POV discovery, what, why, how. I did a video where it's a templated thing that you can do where you can consistently deliver good episodes with almost no hosting skills. If you want to develop hosting skills from the content-based networking perspective of developing relationships with your guests, charisma on command, like just start getting into charisma on command content. And then from a content perspective, it's the whole like devil's advocate thing. Like if you want to start developing better content, start figuring out what the devil's advocate position is of your guests.
Yep. If you want to develop your POV, one thing I would suggest too is in your show notes, write a story that you're going to tell. So instead of like waiting for them, have it baked in. Here's the five questions I'm going to ask. And after question three, if I was answering it, I would say this story. So I'm going to have it in my notes and I'm going to share this story. When you bake it into your show notes, you are giving yourself permission to share your perspective, and you have to get in that routine the same way you got in your normal show routine. So that's a way to develop your POV. And then the other thing is just, I always do every episode with a whiteboard next to me, and I'm jotting down. That's my active listening participation, right? And being able to sum up what they just said and read it back to them, or just say it back to them, right? It's a great way to make you a better host. You're not doing anything except for mirroring and proving that you were actually listening, but it creates a flow in the conversation. And sometimes you just say what they said right back to them. Don't ask a question, and then they have more to say. So
yes. I agree. That's really good advice. Like when you can say something and it's not a question and it forces the other person to expound more, like, that's really good. That's a really good hosting.
So skill. Uncomfortable at first though. First few times you try that, you're like, I hope they get what I'm doing here. But it's worth trying. Man, I love this, Timmy. We need to wrap it, but could talk to you about podcasting for a long time. So appreciate you jumping on Mic Club. And to everyone listening, you know, if you ever have a question, if you ever want to connect with us, the Mic Club community is the place to do that over on LinkedIn. And love to have a good back and forth, and always want to continue to get better at the skill of podcasting. So thanks for listening to this episode, everybody. We'll be back next week with another one. Timmy, you're a legend. Thank you for being here, man.
Thanks, Benji. You too. This is awesome.